Good evening, I'm Jevy Ebanks from the Radio Cayman Newsroom with a look at your latest local news. Two West Bay residents have been formally charged in connection with two recent robberies in Bodentown and Georgetown. Two men aged 18 and 28 were arrested earlier this week and now face two counts each of robbery and one count of wounding with intent. The charges follow an incident on Tuesday night when offenders armed with knives targeted a store on Hearst Road in Savannah before attempting another robbery later that night on Walker's Road. A female juvenile was also arrested in connection with the incident and has been released on bail pending further investigation. The two men were due to appear in court today. The Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions has secured a conviction in the Grand Court against a man who stabbed another over an outstanding debt of just $5. A jury of five men and two women returned a unanimous verdict this afternoon following the three-day trial of Keneal Moses Ebanks. Mr. Ebanks was convicted of wounding with intent and possessing an offensive weapon in connection with the October 2025 incident. Prosecutors say he stabbed a man known to him after repeatedly attempting to reclaim the $5 debt he had loaned. Crown Prosecutor Ben Brown successfully convinced the jury that at the time of the incident, Mr. Ebanks intended to inflict at least very serious injuries. The jury began deliberating around 11:30 this morning and returned their unanimous verdict shortly after 3 p.m. Mr. Ebanks was granted bail pending sentencing, which is scheduled for April. The defense has requested a social inquiry report, noting that Ebanks is still relatively young and prior to today's conviction had been considered a man of good character. The Crown has also requested a victim impact statement. Both reports are expected to take approximately 8 weeks to complete. Once those reports are filed, the Crown and defense will submit written sentencing submissions ahead of April's hearing. The sentencing of George Martin Sliper has been postponed. Justice Marlene Carter rescheduled the hearing today, ruling that Sliper, who is currently in custody at HMP Northward, must be produced in person for sentencing rather than appearing via Zoom. Mr. Sliper was found guilty by a jury in 2024 of rape, gross indecency, assault by penetration, and sexual communication offenses involving a 13-year-old victim. At an earlier hearing, his legal team argued that he should be allowed to serve any custodial sentence in a UK facility, citing access to specialised mental health services not available in the Cayman Islands. The offence for which he is convicted falls within the highest category of sexual crimes under Cayman law and carries the potential for a lengthy prison term. Sliper will now return to court this Tuesday at 3 p.m. when the judge is expected to deliver her sentence. Catherine Lopez has pleaded not guilty to two charges arising from a fatal collision in December 2024. She's accused of causing death by dangerous driving and driving under the influence of alcohol, offenses that prosecutors say resulted in the death of a pedestrian on the Esterly-Tibbetts Highway. According to earlier court proceedings, Ms. Lopez had been leaving a Christmas gathering when the incident occurred. She remains on bail while the case progresses. A trial date has been set for June, but before then, Ms. Lopez will return to court on the 30th of April for a case management hearing where the court is expected to determine whether the matter will proceed as a jury trial or a judge alone. After a packed first year in office that included major immigration reform and significant legislation, Premier the Honourable Andre Ebanks says his caucus took the first 2 weeks of January to recharge before mapping out priorities for 2026. Using data from the Economics and Statistics Office, the Premier says the cost of living issue stands out above all others.
Top of that, by a pretty long stretch on the bar graph, is housing and energy. It's the top driving cost. Everything else, as you see, sort of drops off a cliff and is smaller. Doesn't mean they aren't important and you should try to work on them. But what is going to make the biggest impact?
The Premier says he's working with the Finance Minister, the Honourable Ralston Anglin, to tackle energy costs by resolving tensions between the utility regulator, CUC, and green energy providers. He says the goal is clear.
At the end of the day, I would want to believe that all of them, CUC included, would want, because they pay too, want all of us to pay less for energy, particularly electricity. So if that is the overarching goal, how do we get there? Do they need a policy direction from the cabinet to say, this is the rules of the road and this is what we want you to regulate?
On housing, the Premier announced that a pre-action protocol for foreclosures has been gazetted and should go before Parliament soon.
There will now be, for the first time, a defined set of rules or procedures or processes for when a mortgage is in trouble, of what steps the banks need to take. A notice period for interest rate changes. I think it's in the bill for 30 days. And then also to ensure that the borrower understands the terms of the loan in the first place. Uh-huh. So now, as a homeowner, this should now provide you with education, clear process, and protection.
The Premier also addressed the controversial beneficial ownership register, saying the government's position hasn't changed. Cayman has implemented a legitimate interest register, which the Premier says is ahead of international standards. You can watch the full interview on our YouTube channel and Facebook channel. On Thursday, government published three bills in the lead-up to Parliament's meeting in March. The Litter Amendment Bill increases penalties for offences under the law. This includes raising the fees for littering in public from $500 to $5,000. The bill, if passed, will also empower Cabinet to make regulations creating a, quote, administrative penalty system. The Traffic Amendment Invalidation Bill redefined the term pedal cycle. Currently, a pedal cycle is defined as a motorized bicycle or a cycle propelled by means of pedals capable of being driven in excess of 15 miles per hour. The proposed amendment removes a reference to speed. It also validates fees that have been collected by the Director of Licensing for single registration plate or a single trade plate in relation to motorcycles or trailers, since no fees is currently prescribed. Finally, the Registered Land Amendment Bill is designed to streamline provisions that impact charges of land and to provide for a, quote, more informed pre-lending and pre-action process. Earlier this week, government published a suite of bills related to the digital financial services industry. You can find the new amendment bills at gov.ky. You're listening to Radio Cayman's latest local news. CCRIF, the region's catastrophic insurer, is rolling out new coverage designed to protect the most vulnerable from climate shocks. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin reports.
The new Livelihood Protection Policy, or LPP, launches this week in Jamaica. CCRIF says the microinsurance plan gives quick cash to low-income workers like farmers, fishers, and vendors after hurricanes or heavy rain, with payouts in about 14 days. The policy follows Hurricane Melissa, when CCRIF paid a record $91.9 million to Jamaica. CEO Isaac Anthony says the LPP is part of the facility's 2025 to 2030 strategy to close the region's protection gap and strengthen resilience.
Farmers lose crops. Fishers lose days at sea. Vendors lose income. Families struggle to bounce back. That's why the Livelihood Protection Policy, LPP, was created. Affordable microinsurance that covers wind and rainfall with payouts triggered by real weather data. No claims processing, no paperwork. If the trigger is met, payouts are automatic within days. Whether you're a farmer, fisher, vendor, amateur musician, or seasonal tourism worker, the LPP is designed for you.
CCRIF plans to extend the policy to Belize, Grenada, and St. Lucia later this year, managed through a new microinsurance hub based right here in Cayman. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Thank you, Dion. Young Caymanians are being invited to apply for DART's Hospitality Training Program, a four-month paid training opportunity for 17 to 30-year-olds interested in tourism careers. The program includes employability training with Lynn University, hands-on rotation across leading hotels like the Ritz-Carlton and Kimpton Seafire, and guided mentoring that often leads to full-time roles. Caymanians with at least a high school diploma can now apply through the 6th of April at dart.ky/dart-hospitality. Caymanian filmmaker Frankie Flowers is bringing his latest Hollywood production home, and the public is invited to see it before the world does. Radio Cayman's April Cummings has more on the advanced screening of The Bluff.
The Bluff is the latest feature film from Caymanian director Frank E. Flowers. This pirate action adventure stars Priyana Chopra Jones as a former female pirate forced to protect her family when her dangerous past catches up with her.
I'm told you have a beautiful new family. They know who you really are.
I'm still your mother, and I will do anything in my power. to protect you.
While most of the film was shot in Australia, key scenes were filmed right here at Skull Cave and the Bluff in Camanbrack, establishing the movie's setting. The film is co-written by Flowers and Joe Ballerini and produced by Hollywood heavyweights Anthony and Joe Russo, the directors behind several Marvel blockbusters. The host of the screenings, the Ministry of Youth, Sports, Culture and Heritage, Minister the Honorable Isaac Rankin, says Flowers serves as an inspiration to young Caymanians aspiring to break into the entertainment industry. The advanced screenings are being held Saturday, February 14th at Pedro St. James on Grand Cayman, and Sunday, February 15th at the Aston Ruddy Center in the BRAC. Seating is limited, so you'll need to RSVP at gov.ky/YSCH, or you can call 244-8449. That's 244-8449. The film launches globally on Prime Video on February 25th. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. Finally, one show down and five more to go, Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has this report from the opening of Cayman Arts Festival 2026 at the Harkwell Theatre.
It's one of the most anticipated music events of the year, and boy, could you really tell Thursday night.
I can't remember when last I tried to get a car park space at the Harkwell Theatre and struggled 25 minutes to the show.
The theater was packed for the Jazz in Trance Big Band concert, which featured more than a dozen local artists. Many music teachers playing classic and modern pieces to the delight of the audience. And that's just the start. Cayman Arts Festival continues Saturday night with the CAF Youth Camarada, which will dazzle listeners with orchestral pieces. Then on Sunday, the festival goes full rock and roll with Future Phobia, a rising stars band from Cayman, as they join forces with an all-female Dutch band, The Royals. Jason Gilbert.
So Future Phobia is a group of six of my students that formed a band, and they're doing all their songs from their album, all original songs. Like all the songs that they've been creating for the past year with the help of sponsorship from Cayman Arts Festival, the Ministry of Youth and Culture. So I'm really excited to just showcase these songs for everyone to see, you know, what the youth can do here.
That show is 5 p.m. on Sunday, and all of this year's performances are at the Harkwell Theater. The event continues next week as well, so you can head to eventbrite.com to get your tickets. Reporting for Radio Cayman News from the Harkwell Theater, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. The full schedule is online at caymanartsfestival.com. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a great weekend.